All right. Good morning, everyone who is present and everyone who may be online. I got to mention this. I can't remember what lesson it was, whether it was this past Sunday or a previous Sunday. I was mentioning to the kids, we were talking about Job, and I said, you know, you've heard of Murphy's Law. There's Job's Law. Murphy's got nothing on Job. Well, it almost seems like anytime I'm speaking, Job's Law kicks in. We actually didn't have any internet till about how long? Maybe a minute, 2 minutes ago. The what? The who? Oh, no, none of that. All right. So anyway, I'd like to mention or just share on some things, and I'm not going to touch on everything, but just different things that have been on my heart that I've been sharing with the kids. And it's neat how that I've noticed this in my own studies, and I know it probably many of you have as well, that the Lord, He'll give us a heads up on something, and then later on we start using that vocabulary, and then later on we end up searching it out and it's dead on. And so for a while I've been speaking about, I'll just like define my diagram real quick. Where's my pointer? And I like to use this diagram a lot because it separates the eternal from the temporal. It separates God from humanity, from the first man, Adam. And the first man, Adam, he has a mind. It's the natural mind. I know people say, well, there's the carnal mind and then there's the spiritual mind. I wrap it up. Here is the natural mind. If it's carnal, it's carnal. If it thinks it's good, it thinks it's good, but it's the natural mind. The eternal mind, the spiritual mind, is the mind of Christ. It's just cut and dry. It's one or the other. There is no, well, today I was functioning by the Spirit, but tomorrow, no. It's it's the mind of Christ that is above, and it's a natural mind that is below. Before a soul's born again, there's no life in that soul, like absolutely zero life whatsoever. And it requires a miracle of God for a soul to be born again. For a soul to be able, and I say the soul, the heart, to be able to first hear the voice of the Son of the living God, that requires a miracle of God. The Lord is called El Shaddai, the Almighty. Requires a miracle of God for the soul, for the heart, to actually hear the voice of the Son of God. It also requires a miracle of God for that soul, for that heart, to be able to respond to the voice of the Son of God. And when God performs that miracle, it's the moment of new birth. The Son, the exalted Son, the risen Son, in the testimony you can say Joshua, the head of the body, comes in and takes possession of his land. Unlike the scriptures where there was a lot of going back and forth, and sometimes, you know, the enemies would be driven out and sometimes they wouldn't, and all this back and forth, there is no back and forth with the Son of God. He comes in and he takes possession of what is rightfully his very own inheritance given unto him of his Father. There is no lack of him. You can look at the testimony with Solomon. He completely fills the land with his very person, with his very own wisdom, with his very own knowledge, with his very own understanding, with righteousness. And of course, Solomon is only a testimony of the greater than Solomon. And I say greater than, much more, exceedingly abundantly above all, the eternal Word himself, the Son of God. And so there's no lack once the soul is born again, right? But before the soul is born again, all we know, and all the only way we know things, the only way we process things, is with our five senses. Hearing, seeing, smelling, touching, and tasting. Got them. That's how we process everything, even from as little infant. You know, infants, I don't know why we did it. We all did this. I don't know why we did this, but I guess putting things in our mouth was the quickest way we could process something. We're sticking everything in our mouth. And then it goes on to like feel and then, you know, seeing and then learning. But all that learning is with a natural mind, the mind of the first man, Adam. The mind that, before being born again, the mind that can learn about God. Because before I was born again, I really didn't read my Bible, but there were times that I actually read my Bible for my grandmother. Of course, I really didn't understand what he was saying. She had me read the Psalms, and on top of that, she had me read the Psalms in Spanish. And so my primary language was English, being born in Florida. So I guess it was for my practice. I don't know. But the Lord had something in mind. And so we can read and we can understand what we're reading. And that is good. We should. But all of that understanding is with a natural mind. This Greek word, that's what I was talking about, is that I start using this phrase about. And so with the natural mind, all we can do is learn about God. All we can do is learn about the Son of God, the salvation that God provided for all mankind, for all humanity. Jesus himself said this, and it blew me away. I mean, I looked at the verse, searched it out, and it was like, wow, he actually said that. Because I'm used to reading the New King James, before that the King James. And so like now I'm reading the New American Standard Bible just to kind of shift gears and get my mind, you know, paying more attention. I think we get accustomed to our particular translation that we like, that we just end up just kind of skipping over all this in the scriptures. Because I mean, it's almost like it's memorized to some degree. But Jesus said this, and I'm not sure if I'm going to... Yeah, here it is. He said it. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. Of course, he's speaking to the Jews who did indeed search the scriptures. He goes on. It is these that testify, and here's the word, about me. And see, the King James, or the New King James, I think it says, they are they that testify of me. And so that's what I've been used to hearing. And so I came across this verse in the New American Standard Bible, and it said about. And I thought, oh my gosh, is that really there? Because I've been using that word for a while now. And certainly it is there in the Greek text. And see, he doesn't just stop there. I'll read the verse again. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. Verse 40, of course, here's the design of the testimony, which they were totally missing. Verse 40, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life, so that you may have what you're looking for. And so, God did not leave man with, to his own devices. That's just the way man is. God provided, even before he sent his son, God provided testimony after testimony of his very son. And those who believed in that testimony, those who believed in that gospel, would receive life when the son appeared. And indeed did. Okay? But all this learning is with a natural mind, and it is learning about. And Jesus doesn't say that that's bad learning. No. No. That's the way we learn. That's the way we can recognize, we can learn about the gospel. And I do say this. It does indeed require a miracle of God for us to see the testimony of his son in the scriptures. And I know that to be true. It requires a miracle of God, because I don't know how many years I went never seeing the testimony, never having the light of the testimony, until finally at some point, by a miracle of God, the light of the testimony began to shine from the scriptures. And if you asked me during that time, well, Jimmy, have you seen the Lord? I would honestly say yes. What I didn't know is that what I was seeing, because I mean, it's hard to describe. Only a person who's been sitting and walking in darkness for all their existence, and then by a miracle of God, light is given to them. It's hard to describe that. You'd have to experience it for yourself. It's like when they ask the blind guy, well, who opened your eyes? I mean, you were born blind. And then they go off into their doctrine and into their theology. Well, he was altogether in sin. It was about sin, and his parents sinned. He was a sinner. And Jesus said, look, it's not about sin, but that the Son of God may be glorified in the whole thing. See, it's not about sin. It's actually about the Son of God. And so they're trying to get answers from this guy who was born blind. And finally, he tries to answer according to, here we go. That's another thing with a natural mind. You can have different levels of, I call it ignorance, because that's what it is according to God. I mean, it's not the mind of Christ, it's darkness, right? But you can. There are some who know more, there are some who know less, and some who know in between. And so here is this blind man who probably knows not much, pretty close to nothing, about these religious Jews' theology, who apparently knew a whole lot. And he's trying to answer them according to these questions that they're asking him. And finally he says, look guys, all I know is this, is that I was once blind and now I see. And that cannot be convinced to anyone. That miracle is how shall I say it? God has created our very own hearts for that same miracle. Just as God has created our souls for the miracle of new birth. And nothing less. Nothing less. He has, at the moment of new birth, he did not leave us where we were. No. No, Jesus said this. I go to my Father, and I will come again, that you may be where I am. That happens the moment of new birth. The very moment of new birth. You and me, and I and you. The very moment of new birth. The thing is, once we're born again, see, I'll just use this word, or this description of it. There's reality, then there's the knowledge of reality. Reality, the moment of new birth, Christ appears, the reality of God, who is Christ himself, appears in the soul. Everything's changed. Everything's changed, whether the person fully comprehends what has happened or not. God knows everything has changed. It's like a life-giving seed appearing in a barren desert land. And now that land has life. A living water, a living spring, a living source appearing in a desert, arid, dry land. And now that land has life. This is how God knows. This is how God recognizes. He knows who is present. And here we go. In the heart. The thing is, we don't. We don't. Until God makes known. See, all of our natural existence, we have functioned, we have learned with this natural mind. After the moment of new birth, we still function, for the most part, with that natural mind. We learn about. And like I said, learning about isn't a bad thing. No. No. God, by his Spirit, a miracle performed, we begin to see the testimony. But remember, even Jesus said, You search the scriptures and they, I'll just quote it, it is these, the scriptures, that testify about me. Jesus is not saying that that's a bad thing. No, that's what the scriptures do. They testify. Oh, I don't have the scriptures up here. I'll put them over here. Right? I'll even go backwards for those who got it as Hebrew. Never mind. Searching the scriptures, seeing the testimony in the... Randy got it. Seeing the testimony of Christ in the scriptures is good, but that testimony is received with a natural mind. It requires a miracle of God for us to recognize the testimony of Christ, for us to see the testimony of Christ. And that testimony is a light in the scriptures, in the Psalms, thy word, thy written word, not the living word. Here's the living word. Thy word, the written word, the oral word, the spoken word, the declared word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. At the moment of new birth, God does not leave us wandering aimlessly. No. He sets forth a goal, an aim. And the aim of the scriptures, the aim of the testimony, is the very person of his Son. Just as God did not send man while he was waiting, well, while some were waiting for the Messiah, God did not send humanity a better law, a better doctrine, a better teaching, a better message. God didn't do that. No, no. All the laws, all the doctrines, all the teachings, all the messages that came before him, and they testified of him. And in the volume of it, the declaration was, behold, the Lamb of God. And he comes. He is coming. Jesus is sent. A person is sent. God sends his own Son. God sends a person. And that person declares, I am. And so at the moment of new birth, this I am is now filling the soul totally and completely. But our heart, and see, that's the thing. I think it was Stephen who said, in their hearts, they went back to Egypt. And I love the way he said that. He actually said, in their hearts, they went back to Egypt. Because they couldn't go back to Egypt, which to me is just the abode of the dead. They could not go back to Egypt in reality. They couldn't. But they could in their hearts. And so learning about is all right. But the Spirit of God continues to bring from the learning about, which is processed with our natural mind, to God's knowing, to God's learning. Because Jesus said this, I don't want to misquote it. Let me just pull it up real quick. The word is heard. And it's in John. This is Jesus himself speaking. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. So here's God doing the teaching. No longer man, but actually God himself. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. And that is the aim of the scriptures, to actually come to a person. And the thing is that we cannot come in our own ability, in our own effort. We must be brought by the effort, by the ability of another, this other being the Almighty, El Shaddai. And so there's the learning about God, versus God's very own knowledge. And I had this thought, and I know that we'll probably answer it correctly, but the thought was basically this: do we, as believers, do we believe that there is actually a knowing of God that is beyond what we know, that is beyond everything that we have learned? And see, here we can learn as well as believers, and we should learn. I mean, you can go to Bible school, you can go to seminary, you can get a doctrine of divinity, and I'm not saying that's bad. No, that's really good. But see, all that learning about the Spirit of God uses it that we may come from the learning about to God's very own knowledge. When Jesus at one point was speaking to his disciples, he said something like, who do men say that I am? The multitudes. Who do men say that I am? Who does everybody say that I am? That I, the Son of Man, am. The reference of the Son of Man is specifically being the Messiah. And so here we go. All the knowledge about. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say Jeremiah. Some say one of the prophets. Some say, okay, we know what the multitude say, but what about you who are with me? Who do you say that I am? We know this. Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus rejoiced because that does not come from the natural mind. Now, we can read the passage and say, yes, I know that, and then agree with that. Us who are believers, read the passage, agree with it, and say, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. But there's a difference between knowing about, even knowing what is true, versus knowing the truth. Because the truth is not learned, and I may get flack for this, the truth is not learned by reading the scriptures. We learn true things. The truth is a person. Remember, man, even religious born-again man, tries to redefine things. No, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth. And he is not a liar. The truth is a person whom only God the Father himself can make known. But God the Father does not make known, all right, from afar. Now, when Peter was there, Christ, I'll say it this way, Jesus, the Messiah, was revealed, listen, to Peter. To, from afar, yes, I said it. And I said, he doesn't do that. Okay, hold on. Don't get upset yet. Even as all those that came before, the Messiah, the Son, was revealed unto them from afar. I mean, Moses saw the Lord, all these. The born-again believer, it's different. Christ is present. He doesn't reveal to, he reveals in. The one who is in, the one who is present. Even as John the Baptist said, there's one in your midst whom you do not know, but I am come that he may be made known. Kind of. Give me a second here. I tried to group these as much as I could. Not much success, I guess. Wow, I know it. I wrote this down somewhere. There's, when I find them, I'll read them. There's some passages. One's in Genesis, one's in Psalms. I'll find it in a second. And there's an order, and I call it... here it is. Concerning the day. And even in our Western culture, in other cultures as well, they they define the day from like sunrise to sunset. Kind of makes sense. I mean, the day, sunrise, sunset. But the Hebrews didn't do that. They defined a day this way. This is Psalms 55, verse 16 through 17. And the psalmist is saying, as for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will save me. This is verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon. And I'll just stop right there, because that's the order. Evening and morning and at noon. Well, he added at noon. In Genesis, it says the evening and the morning were the first day, a day. All right? From evening, morning, first day. And I think that's more for once the creation of God is present. Or shall I say, the new creation of God is present. Because there has to be life first. Before there can be this light of the day, there has to be the life first. And then there is the light of the life. And so, at the moment of new birth, there is no life. God performs a miracle. The soul is able to both hear and receive and respond. Christ is present in the soul. Now life is present. And so this is a part I don't like. This is a part none of us like, because we know, and a lot of times we know too much or so much, or we think we know so much. But as I stated, there is actually a knowledge of God, a knowing of God that I don't know. That I have never been able to know. Because with a believer, it will either be my heart submitted to this natural mind, where I think I know, or my heart submitted to the mind of Christ. When that happens, it's a miracle of God. When that happens, it is not my mind. It is not my knowing. I can take no credit for what is not mine. It's like Isaiah when he said, I've seen the Lord and I'm completely undone. There's one who remains. Paul said it this way, it is not I, but Christ who lives in me. So, first come from death. The soul comes from death unto life in the soul. Completely filling the soul. All right. The thing is that even though life is present, I'll rattle them off, some of them off. Life is present, peace is present, righteousness is present, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Light is present, because all these terms are a person. Our heart, I might not have done this last time, comes full circle. Our heart is still submitted to a natural mind. And I call it a veil of ignorance. Veiling the one who is present. But the Spirit of God continually works with one work. I asked the youth, I think it was this last Sunday, how many jobs, this is the way I put it to him, how many jobs does the Holy Spirit have? And someone said, I don't know how many or many or something like that. And it might have been Zion said one. I said, yes. And I was great, the response. The Holy Spirit takes all that he does for one purpose, for one end. To direct, to turn, to lead, to guide, to bring unto the truth, who is a person. Unto a person. Unto a person. Our hearts, submitted to a natural mind, there is this veil there. And I call it the veil of ignorance. And I know that there's a better definition for it, but that's just what I call it. I mean, it's like, I think last Sunday I spoke concerning the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. I mean, here is a woman who has been drawing from a natural source when Jesus shows up at Jacob's well. Everything's really significant. Here's a woman who's been drawing and been building her theology from a natural source. One of the things she says, well, we know, or I know, that on this mountain, well, that's a theology that was learned with a natural mind. And then she says, well, this is Jacob's well. Our father Jacob gave it to us. It's never run out. And we also know that when the Messiah comes, he's going to tell us all things. Here's her theology right here. And the Lord was present the whole entire time. And she knew him not. In fact, that's what Jesus said to her. If you knew the gift of God, and that was a problem, did not know the gift of God who is present. And I've read, I don't know if they were dictionaries or commentaries, forgive me, should have jotted them down, but that would have only added to my papers. There's some that compare and contrast the meeting of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, with Nicodemus. They compare and contrast because it's like one after the other. One is at night, the other one is during the daytime. In fact, when Jesus met her, I think it says it was the sixth hour, and I can't remember what time it was, Roman time, but Jewish time is high noon. And that's significant. Evening and morning and at noon. And this is for those who are already born again. This is for those who already have life. Evening, morning, and noon. It was significant that when Jesus opened the eyes of this blind man, that he was born blind. Very significant. He just didn't become blind. No. This one was born blind until Jesus showed up. Evening, morning, and noon. And so the compare and contrast with these commentators or this dictionary basically said Nicodemus, who was a learned man, part of the Sanhedrin, rabbi, a learned man, comes to Jesus at night. And Jesus speaks to him about new birth, about being, you must be born again, born, and there's like a pun on the word, born again, born from above. And Nicodemus, listen, does not get it. Whereas this lady, this woman, who is, I mean, here you have Nicodemus of a higher social class, I guess, of a greater social class, more acceptable, more respectable, probably an outstanding citizen of the community, more knowledgeable for sure with his doctrine and his theology. And I like that he came to Jesus at night, because our doctrine, even we as believers, our doctrine and our theology is not Christ, is not a person. Listen, God's doctrine is his son. God's theology is his son. God's message is his son. God's teaching is his son. Betty, about, ours is about. God the Father's is not about. God the Father does not show unto us by his Spirit something about his Son. No. By his Spirit, God the Father brings our heart from being submitted to the natural mind, which is only about, unto the person himself, face to face with a person. And then your declaration, my declaration, our declaration will probably be no less than that blind man's declaration. Look, I know a lot of stuff, or I don't know as much. I knew concerning the Christ, Jesus Christ, or I didn't know concerning the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But one thing I do know is that I was blind, but now I see. And get this, it is not our seeing. Our seeing is processed with a natural mind. Our seeing is always about Betty. About. No. By the Spirit of God, our heart comes from our, I'll just write that. Different color. Green. Green, because green in my mind represents knowledge. Our, right? Me, my, etc., etc. That's our knowledge. That's our wisdom. That's our understanding. The Spirit of God brings us from our unto God's wisdom, who is His Son, unto God's understanding, who is His Son, unto God's knowledge, who is His Son. I know that because I experienced this for a while, and it required a miracle of God to convince me of my own blindness, of my own ignorance, because we are so arrogant. We are. Even if by a miracle of God, the Spirit of God has revealed the testimony of Christ in the Scriptures, what do? We take that testimony and we add it to the stuff we know with a natural mind. And we can learn the testimony that way, and that's okay. But it doesn't stop there. But we like to stop it there. And I know I did this. Remember how I was saying during that time, if someone asked me, well, Jimmy, have you seen the Lord? I would have said, yes. Being completely as honest as possible. Yes, of course I've seen the Lord. Here, let me open the Scriptures and show you where. And I'm not talking about like the lamb led to the slaughter. I'm like talking about obscure places that were not taught to me in Bible school. I'm talking about like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know Jesus was there in that verse. Yes, He is. In fact, He's not only there in that verse, He is in the entirety of the Scriptures. We just don't see the testimony of Him. It requires a miracle of God, and God knows that. That's why the Holy Spirit, working behind the scene, upon the ground of our heart, that our heart may behold the testimony about the Son. That testimony, when we began beholding that testimony, what I did, at that point I was like, I got it. And I placed a big stop sign in front of the Holy Spirit. I got it now. I got it now. I have seen the one who there is to see. I am now walking in light and I know it. And see, the thing is that if you are in a pitch dark cave, like one of the caves here in Arkansas, and all you have is a little bitty old candle, that little candle is going to put out a light. And if you've never seen that light before, that is a bright shining light to you, just like John the Baptist, where Jesus said, you rejoiced in His light for a season. He was a bright shining torch and you rejoiced in His light for a season. And to me, John the Baptist is like the personification of the testimony, because all John the Baptist says, I mean, if you think about it, the summation of everything that John the Baptist says is, behold the Lamb of God. There's one in your midst whom you do not know. Behold the Lamb of God. Everything that I do is that He may be made known. Behold the Lamb of God. And so I love how the Spirit of God just kind of orchestrates the Scriptures. I mean, there were the Pharisees that came to John. There were the religious leaders that came to John. There were, you know, Jews that came to John. Okay, who do you say you are, John? Who are you? Are you the Christ? I am not. Well, are you that prophet? I am not. The voice of one, right, I have to move this, some scriptures over here, crying in the wilderness. Make a path, make a straight way for the Lord. Clear the path. Clear the path. What's in the way? I would say our thoughts, our concepts, because that was everything that the Jews had concerning the Messiah. Well, when the Messiah comes, surely this man can't be the Messiah. I mean, if he was the Messiah, he would not break the Sabbath. How dare him break the Sabbath? How can he be the Messiah and break the Sabbath? According to my doctrine and my learning, he can't be the Messiah. I've studied this for ages. I'm a rabbi. I'm a Pharisee. I've memorized the Torah. See, all that is good if the Spirit of God is allowed to take it to bring us to the true and only good of God, who is His Son. I mean, even learning about Berean, they took their learning about and challenged the Messiah. And so Jesus, He obviously knows that they don't get it. And so, okay, let's talk about Moses. Moses gave you the law, so you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. Why are you upset with me? Because I made one completely whole on the Sabbath. Judge with a righteous judgment, but you can't. Because the judgment you judge with is by the natural mind, the natural senses. And therefore, your judgment is unrighteous. It's not the judgment of God. And even Jesus said that. According to that mind, according to that judgment, I judge no man. A different mind altogether. Completely different. Completely different than the mind that all of us, at one point or another, have our hearts submitted unto. I've got this funny doormat right before the at the doorway of my office or the studio, whatever you want to call it, and it says, what are the questions? What is your name? You read it recently, Raven. Tell me if I'm saying this right. What is your name? What is your quest? And then it goes on to say, what is the air velocity of an unladen swallow? Something like that. And Raven was like, so is this what you're going to ask everyone before they come in here? I was like, actually, no. I would change the last one. I'd say, what would I say? See, I said that story and I totally forgot it. The punchline. I hate it when I do that. See, that's just my mind. That's our mind. Well, whatever. So this is the mind that we all pretty much have a heart submitted unto. Right? Look at the testimony in the creation. I mean, that's just a testimony in Genesis chapter 1. There's a creation that testifies of a greater creation. The creation's there already. Life is there already. And then God says, let there be light. And God saw the light that it was good. And then later on, He creates other lights in the heavens to light man on the earth. See, the natural sun, the natural moon, and the natural stars are for all of humanity that is not born again, and for those who are born again, that testify of a lamp unto my feet, or that are the testimony, which are a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, to bring the heart unto a person, the true light that lighteth every man. John the Baptist also said this. This is the one of whom I spoke. I mean, John the Baptist pretty much showed up on the scene before Jesus. And all he's doing is preparing the way. And he's saying, there's one coming after me whose even sandal I'm not worthy to unloose. He was before me. The eternal Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the one whom we received at the moment of new birth. Life is present. The reality of God is present, because the reality of God is His Son. Everything that God created and purposed the soul for is present in the person of His Son. Now, because we read in John of a man born blind from birth, when life was present. And we even misdefine that. We see a woman who's pregnant with a baby, and then she has a baby, and we say, oh, that baby's born. In God's mind, that baby is not born until they're born again, until life is present. Because think about it. But and yet, that is a testimony, right? Before, life wasn't present until that baby, that child's born, that infant's born. Now, they're born. Now, because life is present. A man who is blind from birth. Evening, morning, noon. And here we have it. We all, whether we admit it or not, like I said, I mean, our arrogance is kind of mind-boggling and blowing. It requires a miracle of God to actually convince us that we're ignorant, that we are. I mean, that's the miracle that was required for me, because like I said, when I began seeing this one in the testimony, I was like, I've got it. I do. I've got it. I've seen the Lord. And yet, the light of the testimony, listen, evening, morning, first day, evening, morning, second day, evening, morning, third day. And yet, in the New Jerusalem, in the heavenly temple, there is no need of a sun, of a moon, of stars. For the Lamb is the light thereof. The eternal day. A person, the eternal bright shining of a person. And so, who knows how many years it takes for the Spirit of God to convince us. I've got it written down somewhere, because I counted them. It's like, oh my gosh, it took that long, Lord? I mean, I was born again at the age of 20, and the first thing I thought of was this. Why didn't I do this earlier? All I knew was religious stuff. I mean, even when they were declaring the gospel as much as they knew how, when I would go into a service or whatever. But I couldn't do it. See, new birth requires a miracle of God. I couldn't do it even if I wanted to. And the heart turning to the Lord the second, to behold the light of life who is present, also requires a miracle of God. And so, having learned so much, and even with this diagram, you can look at that. Wow, that is a cool diagram. And look, he even put a Greek word on the chalkboard and even defined it for us. Pedi. I can even say, everybody, let's say it. Pedi. Come on. 1, 2, 3. Pedi. We've learned something. But all we have learned is about, with our natural mind. And Jesus does not discount that. In fact, I would say that he says that it's actually necessary. You've searched the scriptures, for in them you think you have found eternal life. You've searched the scriptures and you think you have found something. You think with a natural mind, and you think you have found something, but actually that something that you found in the scriptures is only something that testifies, get this, about me. And the design of that testimony is that your heart, by the Spirit, would come to me. A miracle of God. First, at the moment of new birth. Second, the knowledge of the new birth. And so back again with the one, with us, I can't say the one, we who are born again, and those of us online, see, us, we who are born again, we are born whether we want to realize this or not, whether we admit this or not, whether we can confess this or not, we are born blind. And it is the evening. Darkness. What? One bar. No, but it should say the minutes. And yet God gives a testimony as a light. Lamp unto my feet, light unto my path. He doesn't leave us. No, he doesn't leave us. Now get this. We would rather stay with our doctrines, our teachings, our messages. We're content with that. We are content with that because, get this, we can understand that. We can understand it. Like this diagram, it's like, what is it? One-dimensional? Two-dimensional? We can understand it. I can understand it. You can have this thought, oh, well, Jimmy explained it. I understand it. I understand it with a natural mind. And yet the Spirit of God says, well, that's okay. But there's a greater understanding that you don't know anything about. You have no clue about. I think Raven has shared on it before. It's beautiful. I wish I could get his notes. Eye has not seen, nor has ever seen, nor does see, nor can ever see. Natural senses. Ear has not heard, nor can hear, nor can ever hear. And the natural mind that processes everything of the natural senses cannot attain unto the eternal mind of God, the mind of Christ. But in our arrogance, we're deceived, just like who is it? Like Eve. You can be like God. And that's why I said, when God the Father makes known His Son, reveals His Son, it's not our knowing. It's not our seeing. If it were, we would be like God. Listen, we would be like God, knowing what God knows, seeing what God sees. But no, that's not the case. We are not like God. We are nothing like Him. And yet He has deposited, He has placed His very Son, His eternal Son, His glorious, glorified Son in our soul. I love the response of John the Baptist. Okay, who are you? Are you the Christ? No, I'm not. Well, are you some prophet or, you know, whatever? No. No, you don't understand. You don't understand. He is so much exceedingly, abundantly above all that we can possibly think. He is this one who was in the beginning, who is the eternal living Word of the Father, the living Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So far above our natural minds. So is it good to learn about? Yes. But I think I share this with the kids a lot. I know I do it in a lot of classes, but we at some point we'll get in the habit of this, whether, well, when we realize it from the Spirit of God, we'll get in the habit of taking our learning that we have learned with a natural mind that testifies of the testimony about Christ, about the Messiah. They are they that testify about me. We'll start taking all that we have learned about, presenting it to the Holy Spirit, who is our true teacher, that he may, not us, but that he may bring us from the learning about to the learning of God. Therefore, whoever has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. And I don't believe that's just for new birth. Certainly it's for new birth. You have to come unto Christ by the ability of another. And that comes at the moment of new birth, when God, by his Spirit, prepares the ground of the soul, performs a miracle, and does what no man in his ability can do. And yet the testimony's there. A man who was blind from birth, coming from the evening to the morning to the noonday. I may cover this in the next session, but when Saul of Tarsus was converted, when Saul of Tarsus saw the Lord, it was during noontime, where you find the brightest shining of the natural sun. And see, that's significant. That just didn't happen. God didn't say, okay, my son is going to appear to him while he's on the road. No. God didn't do it that way. He says, at this point, at the highest, brightest shining of the natural sun, my son will appear. The greater, you can read it, the greater, when he's recounting to King Agrippa, a light that was far surpassing above the brightness of the sun. At noonday, there's no shadows. I mean, there's before and after, there's shadows all over the place. But get this, to see a shadow, and I know you can't see this, but Zion knows what I'm talking about. To see a shadow, okay. You guys see my shadow? I know it's far from there, but you guys see my shadow? Well, one of the things you have to do to see a shadow is you have to be looking down. And see, this example doesn't really do homage to that. But it's true. To see a shadow, you have to be looking down. To see your shadow, you have to be looking down. To see the shadow of a person, you have to be looking down. And yet the substance, who is greater, far surpassing the shadow, is present. The one who... A person has to be present for there to be a shadow. It's true. It's not Peter Pan stuff. It's true. A person has to be present for there to be a shadow. And for us who are born again, when we begin seeing, it's still down here below. Below with a natural mind. And yet the Spirit of God works to bring our hearts above, where our heart is submitted to the mind of Christ, where there is, listen, no shadow, but the light, the exceeding great light that far exceeds, supersedes any other light. So I can't remember. I lost track of time, but I'll just wrap that up right now. But I guess if anything, I'd title this evening, morning, and noon, because this is for us who are born again, and it's like I think it was John the Apostle who said to walk in the light, but he defined the light as he is in the light. It's not just walking in the light of the testimony. Yeah, we must walk in the light of testimony because it is a lamp unto my feet. There you go, feet walking. light unto my path, a destined end, the aim of the testimony, the goal of the testimony, where we can, by the mercy of God, the miraculous miracle of God, walk in the light as He is in the light. So, Lord bless. Please present this to the Holy Spirit, and He may do whatever He wants to do with it. Amen. Amen.